Good morning. We are happy to be here with you on your Sunday morning. My name is Anthony, and I'm here with Sam Hazelton, and we are Old Lion, Young Lion, and we are one of the best shows on the air, and we call ourselves Old Lion, Young Lion because we believe that we work for the greatest lion of all time, and that is the Lion of the Tribe of Judah. We think the Bible is explicitly clear that it teaches that the righteous are bold as lions. If you're out there and you have been feeling a little bit discouraged, or you have been feeling a little bit doubtful or fearful, and you call yourself one of the children of God, let me encourage you that it doesn't say that you can be bold. It tells you that you are bold. You should take this opportunity, if you call yourself a Christian, to enable your ability to walk in boldness as we do here on this show. Old Lion, Young Lion exists to declare the truth of God's word and to declare it boldly. Now, Sam and I are both pastors of a church in Schenectady, New York called Electric City Baptist Church. We meet every single Sunday at 10:30 a.m., and we'd love for you to come and join us in one of our gatherings to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We've been on the air now for almost a year, and this is season two of our show. And if you've been with us so far, we just want to say thank you, and we ask you to keep coming with us on this adventure that we've been on. If you have any questions or any Bible comments that you want to submit to the show, you can submit them to us via our email address at oldlionyounglion@gmail.com. We are also now on YouTube. You can find us on our page, Old Lion Young Lion on YouTube, and you can stream all of our previous shows. We want to give a short shout out to our sponsor for today's show. It looks like the name of today's sponsor from the city of Altamont is in Alan Ditton. So Alan Ditton, we want to say thank you to you and your donation from your garden and for what you do for the show. Keep listening, and we love you, and God bless. All right, Sam, if you could, as we have a tradition here on our show, the Old Lion always starts our show off with a word of prayer. And if we could take just a quick deep breath and enter into his presence with thanksgiving, join us as we pray over the show and over everyone that's listening. Sam, please, would you start us off?
Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for today. It's a real privilege to be on the air. It's an honor to be here. Lord, it's more of an honor to have been called into your kingdom and into your service, Lord. It's an honor to have your word, and that your Holy Spirit has fallen upon us and enabled us to understand the word of God. Lord, I pray, Father, for all of those within the sound of our voice that are listening to the show today. I pray that you'd lead them by your Spirit into all truth. Lord, we're going to be talking about these pretenders to the throne of truth today, and we are going to be exposing some of the tricks of Satan. And I pray, Father, that all of those listening to us would not be deceived, would not be tricked by these false pretenders. And I pray if there are any who are listening to the show today who have been deceived already and have become part of some of these false religions, Lord, I pray that you'd lead them out by your hand, Lord, and show them the truth. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. And we pray a blessing over all you that are listening. We don't know what you're walking through or what you've been through or how the summer has gone for you or what you might be not looking forward to. We don't know how things are going at your job, how things are going in your family, but we hope that this show ends up being a piece of your journey to come to know who God is and what the Bible is all about. And we can't walk a mile in your shoes, but we can point you to who Jesus Christ is. And the Bible says that he's experienced every temptation, emotion, and feeling that you've ever had. And he exists to intermediate for you and be the sacrifice for your sins. And we want you to get to know that Jesus who is Lord. So Sam, before we get into today's show, can you give us a little recap on season two so far, what we've been through, kind of what we're looking at a little bit today, and maybe what we can foresee for the future? Give us a little update.
So for the last few weeks, we've been covering these false religions of Islam and Mormonism, these pretenders to the throne of truth, as we've been calling them. These are kind of Christian-like religions where they sort of tip their hat to the Bible. They sort of use the authority that's in the Bible to try to support what they're trying to do. And then they come with this supposedly new truth that they supposedly receive from an angel. And so we had Muhammad in 622 AD goes into a cave, meets an angel who gives him this new book, the Quran, which contradicts the Bible. And then you have Joseph Smith in the early 1800s who receives a visitation from an angel and who receives this supposed new truth, this other testament of Jesus Christ. And he goes out and starts a new religion. And so we see this pattern, and the Bible predicted that it would happen in Galatians chapter 1, verse 8. Paul the Apostle said, if we or an angel from heaven should bring to you a gospel contrary to that which you receive, let that one be accursed. And as we saw, Islam has now a quarter of the earth's population is now under this deception of Islam. There are many, many millions of people that are under the deception of Mormonism to this day. And so we've been covering a little bit of these false religions. Today, we're going to tackle a new one, which is Jehovah's Witnesses. And you've probably, if you live in upstate New York, you've probably encountered the Jehovah's Witnesses. They are well known for knocking on doors and introducing their version of the truth to people. However, as we've found, their version of the truth is not the truth at all, but it's completely false. There's only one truth, and that truth is, Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. We're going to be exposing the lie of the Jehovah's Witnesses today.
This show, the series that we've been in now, we've entitled Pretenders to the Throne of Truth, Buyer Beware. And why we coined this title for this series is because, as Sam has said, as the old lion has given us some good wisdom, is that they are pretending to be of Jesus Christ, pretending to be of the Christian church, but they have long since departed from the truth. The Apostle John, in his letter to the churches in 1 John, 2 John, and 3 John, stated and made this very clear that they went out from us because they were not of us. And we have to be very open and clear about the position that Old Lion, Young Lion holds in regards to Scripture. We believe in what's called the exclusivity of Christianity, that if you do not believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God sent to save the people from their sins and to give eternal life for all those who place their faith in him, if you do not believe that Jesus and in Jesus all the fullness of the Godhead bodily dwelt, that you are not a part of Christianity, and if you come up with additional visions and additional revelations outside of Holy Scripture, you are to be treated as someone who went out from us because you were not of us. Specifically, these groups, like in America, like the Mormons and the Jehovah's Witnesses, Timothy received a letter from Paul that warned us very clearly about them, that said, they have the form of godliness, but they deny the power of godliness. They may look clean on the outside, but inside not only are they ravening wolves, but they are dead man's bones with makeup on. We do not want you to be fooled by these pretenders to the throne. This is why we have called this Buyer Beware. Now, today we're going to talk about the Jehovah's Witness a little bit. This has been a long-standing cult in the United States that has kind of came to be in the late 1800s out of a disgruntled man who didn't like how Bible studies were going and decided that he wanted to kind of have his own Bible study and lead his own group of people. And Sam, I want you to talk a little bit about, even though there's many blights and errors that we can find in the Jehovah's Witness quote-unquote cult or religion, what kind of is a main thrust of where you see this maybe divisiveness and or departure from the truth coming? Because we can spend all day talking about all the errors that they have, and maybe we'll mention a few, but what do you kind of see the main thrust of where they are in error?
Well, there's a fantastic couple of verses in the book of Jude. It's a very small book in your Bible. It's the second to last book in the entire Bible. It's right before the book of Revelation. It's only 25 verses in total. And so you can read it in about 5 minutes. But in verse 17 through 19, I'll read here quickly. But you must remember, beloved, the predictions of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. They said to you, in the last time there will be scoffers following their own ungodly passions. Verse 19, it is these who cause divisions. Worldly people or soulish people, devoid of the Spirit. The Bible teaches in Ephesians chapter 4 that the unity is of the Spirit. We as Christians are unified, not because we all believe the exact same list of 5 pages worth of doctrines and so forth, although we do all agree on the main primary doctrines of the faith.
Right.
But our unity does not spring from a long statement of faith. Our unity springs from the Holy Spirit of God. When we believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ, His Spirit enters into us. And we, our spirit comes alive, it's joined with the Holy Spirit, and now we have the Spirit of God everywhere we go. And so when we read the Bible as those people who have been born of the Spirit leads us into all truth. This book, this Bible that we honor so much and that we read, this gift from God that every word in here has been breathed out by God, is a book that is spiritually discerned. It's not like going and reading the paper. This is a book that unless you have the Spirit of God leading you into all truth, you're not going to be able to grasp it. You're not going to be able to fully understand it. And you're probably going to go off like these men did, Joseph Smith and Charles Taze Russell, who we'll be talking about today. These men approached the Bible without the Spirit. They were worldly men. They were carnal men. They were soulish men. They did not have the Spirit of God, and they twisted the Bible and twisted the Scriptures to their own destruction.
Well, I think this is an important note to make, because I think that if you view Scripture as just another historical academic book, though it has pieces of it that are historical and parts of it that are academic, if you only view it as this historically academic kind of book that you can study and know rather than divine word of God, the Bible teaches us about people who will read this Bible in that way without the Spirit. The Bible tells us that if you're carnally minded, this is death. But if you're spiritually minded, this is life and peace. And that the carnal mind is that enmity with God. And these men throughout history that have tried to take the word of God, wield its power for the sake of ruling over men and reigning over people. Let me just give you a quick caution. No actual man of God seeks to reign over other men. For the people that love God's people are under shepherds that seek to guide and love and have compassion on them. If you find someone that is reading the Bible carnally or fleshly or soulish or what we might call in a material way, doesn't mean that you can't read the Bible literally. It means that if you read the Bible for to use it for your own desires, that you will end up leading a life that comes out as cultish or wrong or an error, which is what's happened with this group of people called the Jehovah's Witness. Now, Sam brings up a good point about spiritual unity. The second kind of idea that I want you to think about in regards to the Jehovah's Witness is that we're going to find some truth to defeat this error of an idea from Scripture. The Bible teaches us in 1 Peter chapter number 5 what an actual leader of a Christian church, of a Christian community is supposed to be. And the Bible tells us that the elders which are among you, they should be counted as double honor. They will be a partaker of the glory that's to come, but they have a job to do, that they need to feed the flock of God which is among you. So any elder or pastor needs to feed the flock among you. They need to take oversight and care over this flock of God, but not with constraint, but willingly, and not after filthy lucre or evil ways of making money, but with a ready and sound mind. And I want to give you just some things to kind of consider about the Jehovah's Witness and how they were started before I kind of throw this back to Sam. There's a story that you can go research on your own, that in the early 1900s, one of the quote-unquote elders of this false religion, this cult, Jehovah's Witness, told everyone in the entire Jehovah's Witness cult that he needed, because the end of the world was coming, he needed to purchase a large portion of land with a huge mansion on it so that he will have rooms for all of the Old Testament prophets to come and live in when they are raised from the dead. Now, I want you to hear this. He says to his people, hey, guys, I need a huge mansion in Southern California, near the ocean, preferably, so that when Elijah and Moses and David are raised from the dead by God, they'll have somewhere to vacation. Oh, and by the way, while we're waiting for them to come back, I'm going to stay here. Keep an eye on it for everyone. Make sure that Moses' bed is made. Make sure that David has a nice place where he can write some poetry in the backyard. And I need you guys to pay for it for me. Please buy me a giant mansion so that I can watch over it until Moses comes back. This is a major warning and a major red flag that these kind of people calling themselves elders are after filthy lucre and after evil ways of making money, and they'd like to take and steal and rob, which if you read the scripture, you understand that the father of lies is the one that takes, steals, and robs, and you should avoid religions and cults that state these kind of things with everything that you have.
Yes, there's an interesting scripture in 2 Peter in chapter 2 where it says this,
right?
But false prophets also arose among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the master who bought them, bringing upon themselves swift destruction. And many will follow their sensuality, and because of them, the way of truth will be blasphemed. And in their greed, they will exploit you with false words. Their condemnation from long ago is not idle, and their destruction is not asleep. And it's interesting here, if we look at Muhammad and Islam, and we look at Joseph Smith, and we look at Charles Taze Russell of the Jehovah's Witnesses, all of these guys were men who were sensual. Muhammad had many, many wives, and including in his wives, he married a wife who was 9 years old. He consummated a marriage. We have Joseph Smith, the Mormon, who married 40 wives. It's important to understand that these men who bring us into theological deception,
right,
are not only bringing perverted truths, perverted theology, perversion of the Word of God, but these men are perverted. They are sensual men. They are men who are greedy for money. They are men who are usually involved in some sort of sexual sin, perverse sexual sin. These are men, their whole life is going to reflect perversion. It's not limited just to what they're teaching.
When Titus, the book of Titus, I know we're throwing out a lot of scripture today. We want you guys to go and study this out for your own, and we want you to know what the Bible says. The book of Titus in chapter 3 tells us that anyone that's a heretic who goes against the teaching of the Word of God, they are sinners and they condemn themselves. So all you need is a matter of time to watch out for these people that call themselves prophets, but they are not. They are inwardly, they are ravening wolves. The book of Deuteronomy teaches us kind of a measure of how we know who is a true prophet and not. And there's many measurements in Scripture to measure a true prophet, but one of them is that if they speak a word in the name of the Lord and it does not come to pass, that you should not regard this man as a prophet or fear anything that he has to say. And specifically in all the leadership, in all the history of the Jehovah's Witnesses, let me just give you many of the prophecies that they've gotten wrong over and over again. They have declared the return of Christ and the end of the world about 8 times. In the late 1800s, the early 1900s, and as recent as 2001, they've said the world is going to end and that Jesus is coming back. Every single time they've been proven false, they've kind of shuck and jived their way out of these ideas and duck, and they've lost a lot of members along the way, and they've looked for new people to kind of garner and trick. But clearly from Scripture, if they've pronounced a false prophecy, they should not be regarded as true. Here's what we need to get. Here's the basis of all of what we've been talking about in Buyer Beware. Two things that you can kind of understand what a cult is and what a pretender is and who is not telling the truth. And it's these two questions. And we're going to talk about these, and I want you to kind of talk a little bit about the Jehovah's Witnesses error and Jesus and the Archangel Michael. But these two things of pretenders to the throne is this. If you get this right or wrong, it's dependent upon if you're true or false. Who is Jesus, and how does one obtain salvation? Where do some of the Jehovah's Witnesses go wrong in regards to the first question, who is Jesus?
The Jehovah's Witnesses are adherents to a very old heresy, actually. It dates all the way back to the early centuries of the church, and it's called the Arian heresy. There's a right. man named Arius who really basically denied that Jesus Christ was, in fact, the Son of God in the flesh.
Right.
And so, rather, the Jehovah's Witnesses believe that Jesus is Michael the Archangel. Mm. He's a created being. Our Bible teaches that Jesus is the creator of the world. Jesus created Michael the Archangel. Jesus created the earth and everything on it. That's what our Bible teaches. God made the world through Jesus Christ, and that the fullness of the Godhead dwells bodily within Jesus Christ. That's what the Bible says. Jehovah's Witnesses deny this, and they say that Jesus is an angel. He's just kind of this heavenly fall guy who came to do the bidding of the Father. The Father really wasn't involved, wasn't emotionally involved, wasn't physically involved with this salvation of mankind, but he just sent this angel. And there are many, many other falsehoods that they believe because they get the key wrong. The key to the entire Bible is who Jesus is. He's the Son of God. He's the Messiah. He's the Savior of the world. And when they bring Jesus down to another level, they are separating themselves entirely from the truth of the Scriptures.
And there's a famous passage in the book of John, chapter number 1, that everyone should know. If you go to church or you don't go to church, if you consider yourself a Christian or not, you should know the Gospel of John, chapter number 1, is one of the most important chapters in the whole Bible. And what Jehovah's Witnesses do to this passage is they just change the words of the Word of God, which Sam has warned us in previous episodes that the book of Revelation, also written by John, warns us that if you change any words to this book, you will receive the curses from this book. And in John chapter number 1, just in the very first two verses, the book of John chapter 1 verse 1, it's very clear. And what happens with Jehovah's Witnesses is they just change the words of the book. What does John 1:1 say? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. It goes on, John says, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. And in him was life, and the life was the light of men. This passage is so clearly, which we find out later in John 1:14, talking about Jesus is God and the creator of all things. They find a tricky way to get you off track by saying that Jesus was a God and he is the maker of all other things. They have to change this because their entire philosophy and theology of what they believe is dependent upon you not knowing that Jesus is God.
So they basically got in there, whereas the Mormons came up with a new testament, the Book of Mormon, and Islam came out with this new Quran. Instead of creating a new supposedly holy book, the Jehovah's Witnesses just went into your Bible and they changed it all around. They twisted the verses that they didn't like. They changed all the verses that didn't support their false beliefs.
Exactly. And you need to be on the lookout for this. The best ways to know something is false is to know what is true. And John 1 stands alone as a testament against the entire religion of the Jehovah's Witness. Now, I need you guys to know that this cult that's been built up has been largely built up on the backs of getting people to be afraid. They're a fear-driven organization that tries to tell you that Armageddon is coming tomorrow, and that if you don't join their little group, you won't be able to get saved. But there's a second portion of how we judge cults, not just who is Jesus, but how does one obtain salvation? And the Jehovah's Witnesses have an interesting way of how they understand salvation. First of all, you should know that they only believe 144,000 people are going to go to heaven, that everyone else that might find their way into some truth is going to end up on earth as some other sheep that get to live underneath the guardianship of these 144 anointed ones that get to make it to be with God. So next time you encounter a Jehovah's Witness, ask them, are they in the 144 or did they end up being 144,001? This is a foolish misunderstanding of Scripture that seeks to call themselves or this small group of 144,000 spiritual Israel that denies the truth that's in the Word of God. On top of that, they want you to understand that you must know this particular name of God, and if you don't, you also will not be saved. We have some kind of idea here from Romans chapter number 10. And Sam, I want you to kind of dig in a little bit, you know, be concise, but I want you to share this idea here.
Yeah, so in Romans chapter 10 and verse 9, it says this, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And then it justifies that verse later on in verse 13 by quoting from the prophet Joel, who said, for everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Right.
And so this is what your New Testament says. The New Testament was written in the Koine Greek language. And so we see this word kurios, which is Lord, in both verse 9 and in verse 13. So
right.
Clearly we're talking about the same Lord, the same person. You have to basically confess that Jesus is Lord of heaven and earth. And the Jehovah's Witnesses, in their trickiness, in their cleverness, they have translated in their Bible, in verse 9, they say Jesus is Lord. And then in verse 13, they say, for everyone who calls upon the name of Jehovah will be saved. And so they've twisted the scripture. It says kurios, they've translated as Jehovah.
Right, same words in the Greek, but to fit their theology, they change the words in the English.
Right. And so they do this time and time again in the scripture. In fact, it's very interesting. This fellow, Charles Taze Russell, was in a court of law at one point in time, and he was being questioned in this court of law. He claimed to be a Bible scholar, claimed to know Greek and everything. And so they tested him, and he couldn't even identify any of the Greek letters of the alphabet. He didn't even know what they were called, how they were pronounced. He knew nothing of Greek. And so in 1961, they came out with their New World Translation of the Bible. But this was not a scholarly effort. This was done by tricksters who were trying to prove their point, who were trying to get people to follow. And still to this day, this is what they're trying to do. And they're trying to bring all these people that they can deceive underneath this organization called the Watchtower Society, and they are, as always, being enriched financially by these people that have been deceived by their lie.
They've come up with many gimmicks to kind of get people to sign up for their club. One of them is that you might have seen the Watchtower is a magazine that they have, as well as another magazine they call Awake. They do anything they can to kind of align themselves with kind of the Christian attitude of the world, where if the Christians can kind of seem like they have something in common with the Jehovah's Witness, they can build their financial wealth off the backs of people that think they also are Christians. They have a group of men in this Watchtower Society that live in upstate New York that decide the eternal fates of all the people that are in their organization. This is clearly a corruption of the true religion that is found in the book of James, in the book of Matthew, in the Gospels, and throughout the entire scripture. We urge you to look into these things. We urge you to research them. Look into your Bible and see what it teaches and preaches. We're not a show that necessarily comments on a bunch of things politically or tells you what's going on in the sports world. What we want to do is discover the truth of the Word of God, declare it boldly. We are giving you this buyer beware. Watch out. There are pretenders to the throne of truth. Jehovah's Witness are a cult. They are not Christian. We want you to know about it. We hope that we'll be able to walk with you through the journey that you're on, through the scripture, as we continue through not only this series, but every series that the Lord lets us continue to do. Have a great day.
We'll see you at church.